Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
People have to find out what the government was doing during that period. If we're worried about foreign influence, for the very same reason we should be worried about whether government officials abused their power and put their thumb on the scale.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Yes, we do. Jesse Jane Duff joining us this morning. She is a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. Jesse Jane, good morning.
Hey, good morning, motivator. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Just listening to that interview Bill Barr, the attorney general, did this weekend with Fox, saying, you know what? He said the American people need to know how this thing got started, and that's all we're looking into. I don't know what in the world the left in this country is so worried about. Do you?
Oh, come on. We all know what the word is. Was that rhetorical question, or were you serious?
Indeed.
Their mask is getting pulled off. I mean, they've been walking around with, you know, it's like one of those parties where everybody looks beautiful because they have those beautiful masks on, and you're kind of guessing which lady you want to dance with, and then boom, the mask comes off. You're like, ooh, not what I was hoping for. That's what this is. Like, honestly, it all looked good on the outside because they fooled so many people and got so many people to trust them. And what really amazes me is that people that are from the previous administration are actually trying to go out there and blast Attorney General Barr. I mean, I find it reprehensible that Eric Holder would even do such a thing. First of all and foremost, you're a former attorney general, and what you're doing is trying to undermine the administration that followed yours. Why? Because you know that it's a slippery slope, because you know that your own administration was scandalous, because you know you got to get public opinion behind you, that you've got to rally the troops to not believe anything that the president, the Trump administration is saying. The accusations are all false. Why else would you be doing that other than if you knew that you are trying to prevent your own reputation, your own legacy from peeling apart? Like, it couldn't be any worse already. But it just is shocking because we never saw this. Probably what in the last previous, how many administrations can we think back here? I mean, we're not that old, of course. Both you and I are only 35. But the administrations that we have experience with, I don't remember so many former CIA directors, attorney generals, secretaries of state, you name it, everything but the kitchen sink coming out there against the administration that follows them.
Yeah, I loved it that the attorney general addressed his earlier comments because he's been accused somehow of defending the president. But listen to what he said here with cut number 9, Tricia, please.
I use what words I use, and it was an investigation, but I think if I had been falsely accused, I'd be comfortable saying it was a witch hunt.
It was a witch hunt. I mean, his point being, obviously, that this president knew from the very beginning that he wasn't guilty of any of this. Of course he fought like hell against these charges, and the Democrats want to suggest that he was trying to, you know, impede justice somehow, which is nonsense.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive for somebody to sit back and say, oh, okay, there's an investigation. If you are innocent and you know they're trying to undermine your election by the American people, who wouldn't be outraged? All of that hard work that he did, they lost because they didn't run a good election. That is just clearly, and they had a lousy candidate, too. Let's not forget that. But, I mean, who's to say she even did show up at Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania that she would have even had a chance? She's not likable. Let's remember that. She was not a likable candidate, and I think every Democrat can attest to that. I mean, well, any honest Democrat, I should say. Wait a minute. Was that a Freudian slip? I'm sorry. I just keep talking here. But what it boils down to is Hillary Clinton ran a lousy campaign. She was a lousy candidate. And for someone like President Trump to come in and win like he did, defeating what? 17 Republicans, primarily establishment.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Republicans tells you the nation was ready for a change. It's not like he was the only one ran on the Republican ticket. He had massive competition with very well-experienced what? Politicians. And the American people said, no, we want a wrecking ball. We want somebody to come in and do exactly what he's doing. Shake it up. Bang D.C. into pieces and let's rebuild and have a better government. And that was a threat to the very people such as Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, their legacies, their entire administration. And sadly, many Republicans who were in bed with them, such as your Paul Ryans and others who decided not to run for re-election or could not win a re-election because they too had become that very problem that D.C. is notorious for, the swamp.
Yeah, amen. And boy, has he shaken them up. There's no doubt about it. Jesse Jane, the time goes by too fast. Thank you so much. Well, glad you're back with us. You know, of course, healthcare has been a big issue in America for years now, and particularly in the last election cycle and coming up in 2020 with Obamacare kind of teetering on the edge. It's going to be a big issue again. Dr. David Hyman is with us this morning. He's an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. He's a law professor at Georgetown University. He's been brought in by the Show Me Institute, and he's going to be speaking tonight at a speech called Overcharged, Why Americans Pay Too Much for Healthcare. We're going to give away a couple of tickets to this event. It is tonight downtown at the T-Rex on Washington Avenue at 5:30. So we'll take, how about caller number 7 for a pair of tickets to go to this event tonight where you can learn more about this, 314-241-9797. Dr. Hyman, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Pleasure having you in here. What is your first thought when you think about the fact that Americans are overpaying for healthcare? Where do you even start to attack that problem?
Well, the book that we're going to be talking about, which is titled Overcharged, Why Americans Pay Too Much for Healthcare, is about that very question. And we give lots of examples of ordinary Americans who do all the right things but find themselves with these staggeringly large and often surprise medical bills. And if you were looking for a place to start in blaming the current state of affairs, insurance actually has a lot to do with it. Insurance is an important thing, but we're using it the wrong way. We're trying to make it do things that it doesn't do very well. And as a result, we end up, you know, not having the healthcare system serve us very well. It serves the insurance market pretty well, but it doesn't serve ordinary patients very well.
So you're a medical doctor in addition to being a lawyer, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, so you've looked at this, obviously, from both sides of that. And, you know, in insurance, I've often wondered why we don't handle medical insurance more like we handle insurance on our car. If we get a fender bender, we don't turn that into insurance, correct?
Exactly. That's really one of the arguments in the book, that we should use insurance for the kinds of problems it's designed for. That is, a very low chance of a really catastrophic outcome. And that's how we use insurance everywhere else that we buy it, right? Homeowners insurance, car insurance, even life insurance,
right,
are structured in that way. But health insurance we use like if you had car insurance that covered every dent, but it also covered getting your oil changed, getting your tires rotated, everything under the sun. And the result is insurance is expensive and healthcare is expensive.
I'd go to Firestone a lot more if I only had a $10 copay.
Well, that's, the book actually quotes a well-known senator who said, if we pay for food the same way we pay for health care, I'd eat better and so would my dog.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding. That's a great. So when you hear people in this political cycle talking about free, we need to move to, you know, a government-based system like a Medicare for all type situation. What's your response to that?
So the book actually has an entire chapter that talks about Medicare for all and why we don't think that it's going to offer a useful solution to the problems that we face. The basic difficulty is our healthcare system looks the way that it does because lots and lots of efforts at government regulation and laws to fix what are problems. And so government ends up paying for about half of our healthcare and it regulates all of our healthcare. But if you look closely at the claim success stories like Medicare, but also Medicaid and the Veterans Administration, there are lots of problems in those programs as well. And so doubling down on those failed solutions doesn't look like a success recipe for
and
us.
When you hear the dollar figures that are thrown around with what that might cost, I think I read $30 trillion over a pretty short period of time.
So it's somewhere between $33 and $38 trillion over a 10-year period in new healthcare spending. So that would require basically doubling our current taxes just to pay for healthcare. Now, that would be offsetting money we're currently paying private insurance companies. That's the argument in favor of it. But, you know, the difficulty is if you like the current system, Medicare for all is probably going to give you more of it.
Yeah.
Less.
Well, I mean, how do you start down that reform path? You'd have to get the existing insurance companies, is it just through regulation to get them to mold to a different system?
Well, we're actually, and the book talks about this as well, we're seeing lots of promising developments because part of the reason insurance is expensive is because healthcare is expensive. And if you want to make healthcare less expensive, what you need is not government regulation of prices. You need more competition in the market.
Right.
And we're seeing that already, right? So have you ever been to or seen a retail clinic, like a doc in the box at your CVS or Target mm-hmm. or Walmart?
Yep.
Okay, so think about what services they're covering and what you can learn about how much they cost, right? They're open early, they're open late, they have free parking, they post their prices. When's the last time you went to a doctor and knew what the price was mm-hmm. for anything, even 6 weeks afterwards, right?
True.
The bills show up over a period of months. Even if you go to an in-network hospital, you have a significant chance of getting an out-of-network surprise medical bill. None of those things happen in the retail sector. And so part of our argument is the things that work in other sectors of the economy will also work in healthcare. We'll need to make some adjustments because healthcare is different in important ways. Not everybody should or wants to know everything about their health problems. Chronic illness is different than acute problems. And you shouldn't expect your local retail clinic to be a trauma center.
Sure.
But for a bunch of things, they're actually a good, low-priced, high-value offering.
Yeah, we're talking to Dr. David Hyman, who's going to be speaking tonight at 5:30. There's a reception at 6 o'clock. They're doing the presentation down at the T-Rex on Washington Avenue. I've even interviewed doctors in the past who've gone to a cash basis in their office and offered people steep discounts if they're willing to come in and just be a cash patient.
Yes, you see this a lot. You also see this with hospitals where, you know, the prices on the bills are all phony baloney,
yeah,
right?
It's true. Yeah.
None of the bills do they expect to be paid at full value, although they use a high number as a starting point for negotiation, right? It makes perfect sense why they would do that. But insurance companies don't pay that. And lots of hospitals and physicians are offering heavy discounts to cash payers. That way they don't have to deal with insurance.
Sure. Well, Dr. David Hyman, we appreciate you coming in. I know you're looking forward to your presentation tonight on the book.
And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
How about that? 396 young men there at Morehouse College began the day in caps and gowns and like millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars in student loans between them of the entire class. And that guy promised to pay it all off. He's billionaire Robert Smith. He spoke to him and he goes, I'm going to make grants to pay all of that off.
Love it.
Isn't that amazing?
I think that's great. And I like how he said, like, here's a challenge alumni, like, all right, I'm doing it. Somebody else do it too.
Yeah, he was challenging other people to do that, but yep. You know, this is the way it needs to be done if somebody wants to step in and pay for it. But honestly, it's like hitting the lottery because
yes.
Everybody's now hoping somebody's going to show up at their graduation and pay off all of their debt. And, you know, at some point, and we were talking about this a little earlier, Denise and I, you've got to make a buying decision as mm-hmm. as a parent and as a student going to college these days. You need to make a good financial decision as to where you're going to go and not just go to a school because the name that hangs over the columns at that university. You have to know why you're going. Mm-hmm. You may not know for sure what your major is going to be, but you better be pretty darn sure that whatever it is, it would give you sufficient income to pay off $80,000 or $100,000 in debt.
Sure.
That's important. It you know, the doctor was in here a minute ago, and we were talking about why we need to treat medical insurance the way we treat auto insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to Firestone and pay a $10 copay and get all the dents removed from your car or the transmission replaced or whatever the case may be, and then an insurance company picks up most of it and you get a little bit of a bill later. That's not how that works. The best analogy I can think of for a college degree these days, if you think of how much money these kids owed, it would be like going to a Bomarito dealership, finding a new car that you liked, getting them to agree to let you drive it off the lot with the promise that 4 years later you'll come back and pay them for it, at which point it's got 60 or 70 or 100,000 miles on it. And then you decide, well, it's not fair that I've got to pay for it now that I've used it. The college experience is similar.
Sure.
If you mount up $20,000 a year, which is what Mizzou costs now, you owe $80,000 when you walk out of there with that diploma. Is the diploma worth it? Well, if you got an accounting degree and you're walking into a $60,000 a year job right out of school, probably. Right? Or if you have a law degree and you're walking out to a $60,000 a year job or $50,000 or $80,000 or $100,000, yeah, it's probably worth it. But if you're walking out of there with a degree in English or a degree in social work or just a general business degree, how long is it going to take you to pay that off? That's more as much as the mortgage was on my first house.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had a 30-year mortgage on.
Which is why you got to think about, that's where people really need to think about where they're going to, because community colleges are an option. You can cut costs in certain places. And
that's what I mean. They need to make good buying decisions.
Correct, yeah.
And
yeah.
if you don't know, then that's a good option too, because you can get those general studies things taken care of and then hopefully know what you want to do by then and choose the best university for you based on what you decided you really want to do.
Well, but, and you and I were talking about that.
No, go ahead.
We were talking about this off air a little bit too. There was an assumption for a long time that you go from high school to college.
It doesn't matter.
Question. It was just okay. Pick where you're going. You're gonna go. I think parents are a little more aware now that giving a little bit of time in between might be helpful mm-hmm. to kids. Where that was kind of frowned upon. My parents didn't. They weren't.
Like work, you're not going to do that right now. You have to go to school before you can actually work.
And they weren't.
And
like,
now it's like, well, if you can get your foot in the door somewhere, sometimes there's opportunities within that job that they'll help you pay mm-hmm. to go further your education instead of doing that right away.
Yeah, I think people are paying more attention to it and giving kids more options.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah, people that who haven't planned or set aside money for their kids. Trying to pay for it out of your paycheck is almost impossible when it's $10,000 a semester.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's loans.
It's outrageous.
Yeah,
so a lot of people are having to go get loans to do that. And my mm-hmm. point is, you couldn't go back to that car dealer after 4 years and say, well, I've used up the car now, and I don't think it's fair that I should have to pay for it. Because that's kind of how the student loan situation is. There are people who just never pay that debt. And, you know, there are people that go into collections and then they have to get their wages. I mean, we have to address this problem from the standpoint that college costs too much and it's going up too much every year. The rate is out of control. but we also can't, as a society, cave into these people who are snake oil salesmen telling you, if you just vote for me, I'm going to eliminate all of your college debt. That money came from somewhere. Somebody loaned that money. They were expecting it to be paid back. It can't just be erased unless you find a friendly billionaire who's willing to step in and take care of you.
More billionaires.
You got to win the lottery. So these people won the lottery. Yeah. Maybe I don't know who knew he was going to do that ahead of time, but everybody's going to want, hey, let's invite a billionaire to speak at our graduation.
Let's invite a billionaire to speak on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, how about that? Yeah, no kidding. It kind of helped you out there. No
and a little
what.
Bit of debt we can wipe out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a serious problem. I said this earlier. My daughter just graduated from St. Louis University School of Law. The before she started her first quarter there, we went in and met with a financial aid counselor who told her the average debt for people coming out of there after 3 years is $120,000. So you better work your butt off and be near the good enough in your class to get a decent job walking out of there and not plan to go work as a public defender, because you're going to be in debt for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah.
You're never going to make enough money to pay it off. It's just crazy.
Yeah, well, like you said, that's another mortgage. You're not going to be able to buy anything else with that if you don't.
So much for that new car. Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. All right.
Here comes Schwartz. He already has two. And that one kept away from Tarasenko by the stick of Burns. Towards the net. A hat trick for Schwartz. His second of the postseason.
How about
so
that?
Exciting.
It is exciting. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I saw that the penalty shot.
Yeah.
That was a Tarasenko, right?
Yes.
On the penalty shot. That was pretty impressive.
I had to listen to most of it on the radio yesterday, and then while I was at my daughter's dress rehearsal for her dance recital, I just kept like doing the score check. I'm like,
of course you did. At least it's not like a 2-1 game. You had a little bit of a lead there. A little bit.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Of a pad.
Yes.
Yeah, they did a great job. Normally, we'd have Tom Ackerman on for you today. But Tom was up covering that PGA tournament in New York, and he's on an airplane on his way home this morning.
Yeah, that's correct.
Brooks Koepka, Denise's favorite pro golfer, won again.
He's not my favorite, but he's you know, easy on the eyes.
You like his arms, right?
Admirer of
his
gun
show. Every
time
I see him, I think of it. Yeah. I think of you appreciating his arms.
Like Denise, he wears tight shirts,
Denise
and
likes
he's
his
got,
muscles.
You know, he's strong.
He won big time. At least finally in the final round, he finally looked like a human being. And
yeah, he started to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah, but he still won by two strokes.
Yes.
Pretty impressive. That's
so
his
Tiger
second
didn't
PGA
even qualify for those last two rounds.
Didn't make the cut.
That's crazy.
When he ended, at some point, he was 17 strokes off of Koepka's score. But then Koepka fell back
a little
bit.
Koepka was on fire,
though. Yeah, he fell back a little bit, but still. Yeah. He's like, hey, you know, I just won the Masters. I'll play and I'll see you at the next tournament.
He doesn't have a lot of emotion, that Koepka, but that's okay.
Neither does Tiger, really.
Well, I mean, Tiger, they asked Tiger about it. Hey, I just won the Masters. I'll be all right.
All right.
Yeah, you know. Get off my back.
I do think it's funny how Koepka, I like how we're doing our own sports segment here, too. Like, no, Tom. I do think it's funny how they call him, like, boring Koepka. Like, I was watching golf highlights, and they were like, boring Koepka. Like, that's like an actual name that they call him.
Poor guy.
I know.
Well, it may be, but
I think he, like, embraces it, though.
That's fine. If that's his personality and he's a great golfer, what do you care?
He's won a PGA.
Yeah,
I mean, he's rich and he's got those muscles. He's fine. It's just...
Yeah.
I think that people call him boring.
Who cares?
I don't.
He's laughing all the way to the bank.
I don't think he cares either. I just...
Just like
just
never
keep
mind.
Winning.
Just
never
like,
just keep
like
winning.
Woods was laughing all the way back to his $20 million yacht after he didn't make the cut. Well, he may not have been laughing, but He probably smiled when he saw it. I would smile if I saw my $20 million yacht, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you smile? I'd make me happy.
Would.
That would bring me joy. Let me get to Derek here on line one. He's calling in, I believe, connection with our conversation with the doctor earlier about healthcare costs. Derek, good morning.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm great.
I really enjoy listening to you guys. And I have something about the healthcare stuff. I'm in the business. I'm a provider, so I'm very knowledgeable on how this stuff works. And I think Mitt Romney, way back when, although I'm ashamed to admit that I heard it from Mitt Romney, kind of hit it on the head. I mean, with the analogy of car insurance, you should be able to go across state lines to buy health insurance. In other words, if you have Blue Cross Blue Shield in Missouri, you know, you can only buy Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri. You can't buy Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Cincinnati. If you open it to cross state lines, it's going to become way more competitive, much like car insurance. For example, my car insurance, I don't even have in Missouri. It's some company out of Florida. And the reason why is that it was a competitive price. They offered the best bang for your buck, so to speak.
Right.
And I think that that's just one solution. You know, another thing I don't think people understand, let's say, for example, you have Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri and you want to go to the Mayo Clinic, or the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland. You go there, you get the services done in Cleveland. That physician has to bill the Cleveland Blue Cross Blue Shield. They don't bill Missouri Blue Cross Blue Shield, and the Cleveland Blue Cross Blue Shield pays that claim. So in other words, the Missouri Blue Cross Blue Shield just takes that premium, and they don't even have to pay for that claim.
Wow.
So there's many things that are a problem with health insurance in this country, and I think one solution, and it's not the clear-cut answer, but I think one solution is in regards to patients making it more affordable is to go across state lines, open it up so, you know, you can go in this country and buy whatever health insurance you want, whether it's in Missouri, Florida, Kansas, whatever.
Well, I've heard that tossed around a few times. Hopefully when the Republicans present something, that'll be part of it. Derek, thank you for the phone call.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's good to hear from somebody who's in the who's in the business just how complicated that whole thing is. You know, it's just like car insurance. You wouldn't inform your car company for a fender bender. Generally, you're going to take care of that yourself because you don't want your rates to go up. Why don't we treat our health insurance that way? I don't.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.